I talked about patient safety, and I made this more of a patient safety bill rather than a scope of practice bill.
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Kat Moore is an emergency physician for Prisma Health in Greenville, South Carolina. She's also the immediate past president of the South Carolina chapter of the American College of Emergency Physicians. It's been about a year since she and her colleagues were able to pass a law that requires an EP on duty in any emergency department in the state. Turns out, it passed just in time. This is Episode 4, Patient Safety Carries the Day.
When I started first hearing about this nationally, I didn't know if this was a problem in South Carolina. I didn't even know if we had a law or a regulation stating that we needed a physician or that we had to have a physician. So when I heard this was happening, I looked at, you know, our other chapter members and I said, we need to figure out if we have any law that states this and if we have any emergency departments that currently don't have physicians in, you know, there 24/7. Basically, we decided that one, currently in South Carolina, there weren't any emergency departments without a physician. And two, there could be if the hospitals decided to, which was an important realization because at the same time, the state repealed certificate of need. And so there was this big race to kind of open all of these hospital-affiliated freestandings. So all the bigger departments were starting to kind of open these freestandings because now they didn't have to have a certificate of need. So our concern, and there was a rumor that indeed this was in the pipeline, was that they would be staffed with non-physicians and have telesupervision. Or I guess if we passed scope of practice, which we have not yet done in South Carolina, although I feel like that is probably going to happen at some point for us, that they would have unsupervised or telesupervision of non-physicians in the emergency departments, especially in these freestandings, even in urban centers.
Once you determined that you needed to take action, what did you do in late 2024?
End of 2024, in October, we had a dinner where we invited members of the 3M committee, the chairwoman, and then the subcommittee chair, and two other members to basically have dinner with us so we could discuss it. And we had our lobbyists there. And basically, I talked about patient safety, and I made this more of a patient safety bill rather than a scope of practice bill. We didn't even mention scope. We didn't talk about nurse practitioners or PAs or who would replace us. We just talked about the need to have a physician that was experienced in managing emergencies and the fact that it was important for them to be on site because time is so important in emergencies. And we pretty much kept to that message and didn't really even bring up the scope of practice part. And it seemed to really be a good strategy that resonated. I mean, we had essentially unanimous support for the bill. There was not a single opposition.
Can you tell us what was in the bill? Was it a complicated piece of legislation?
It's very simple. And legislators love very simple bills. It was literally, I think, maybe four lines long. It states that in any emergency department, there should be a physician trained in emergency medicine, and it does not specifically say board certified because we didn't want to exclude family physicians who are trained in emergency medicine, who are practicing in the emergency departments.
The bill was signed by the governor last year, and it's in effect now. So how's it going?
I think it's been a great success. And I also think that it has helped sustain and maybe even increase our reimbursement as emergency physicians, because South Carolina is growing at a rapid pace and they are actively trying to recruit and retain physicians here. And in order to do that, even in popular areas like Charleston, where I used to live, they have had to really increase what they're paying us per hour in order to keep us there. Which is great because we hadn't had any increase in our base pay since I started, you know, 12 years ago.
Tell us more about the patient safety angle. That's really what this is all about.
The way I practice medicine in general at bedside or with advocacy is I always think of my mother in the emergency department. And, you know, I always try to treat every single patient like I would want somebody to treat my mother. And I would want my mother, if I if I wasn't around to advise her, I would want to make sure that she went to an emergency department that had a physician there who knew how to manage whatever she was there for. And so, yes, I think at the end of the day, this is a patient safety issue. And we want to make sure that every patient in the state of South Carolina has the same access to quality care, no matter where they are. Doesn't matter if they're in, you know, a rural part of the state. It shouldn't matter where you go. If you go into emergency department, you should have somebody there who has been trained to manage what brought you in. And I think that's really important.
Why do you think we're having these conversations? Why is this an issue?
Well, I want to be generous. And I do think, to give people the benefit of the doubt, there is a physician shortage. I think, you know, we talk about the workforce study and how there was going to be too many emergency physicians. And I think in certain areas that is true, but in other areas, I do think there is a hard time getting physicians to some places. So I think that is, there is some truth to that. But when they started to try and do these in very competitive areas where there isn't as much of an issue of getting physicians to those areas, I think really at the end of the day, it's about cost, and it's about wanting to cut costs and cut costs on, you know, reimbursements for physicians, right? Because we are the most expensive person in the ER. But, you know, at the same time, we're not the driver of the increased cost of healthcare. So it's really, I think, disingenuous to imply that we are the drivers of the cost and then wanting to cut costs on the level that they're cutting it with physicians, because, you know, that's just, you're not thinking about patient care. You're just thinking about the bottom line.
Other states are facing this same situation. You and your colleagues in South Carolina have been able to navigate this quite well. So what's your advice to others who might be seeing this challenge on the horizon, or maybe they're in the thick of it right now?
I still would encourage them to try to do this, because I think that really, if these hospitals can't afford to pay the most important, really the most important person at the bedside, then they should consider, you know, their budgeting and how they're managing things. Because I think it's kind of like asking, if you're going to build a plane or you're going to build an airport and you're not going to have the pilots, you know, if you can't afford to have the pilots, then maybe you shouldn't build a plane, you know? So we want to have physicians in these areas, and we understand that there is some issues with getting physicians to these areas, but let's come up with better solutions.
What role did National ACEP play in helping to get this done?
So I think from a national level, it was great to have ACEP and the other states that have already done this, because when we went to look for legislation, we really didn't have to do much. There was already a bill that was written for us. So, and we looked to states, you know, specifically since South Carolina has a political makeup more similar to Indiana, we looked to Indiana and to Virginia so that we could actually borrow their language. There was already model language for us. So I think having ACEP National there that had already done a lot of the work for us, right? And then from a smaller chapter perspective, we did hire a lobbyist. We were fortunate that we had the money to spend to do this. So we did it. We thought it was important to spend the money on this. But it is important for our membership, because when you're not a member or you're not involved, you think somebody's just doing this for you, you know, and you don't realize we're the ones doing it for ourselves. We have to be the ones to do this, because there isn't any ACEP Santa Claus that is doing this for us. It's us. We are our Santa Claus. So we're the ones who have to do this. And whether that means paying your dues or getting involved, or, you know, hopefully both, and contributing to the PACs and things like that, that is really what matters the most. We really need membership, and we need involvement, because this just doesn't happen on its own. So I think it's really important for people to understand that if you don't get involved, it doesn't happen.
Every day from now until March 28th, we'll feature a different story about the work of ACEP and its chapters. We'll talk about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. We kicked off the series on March 11th. You can listen to those conversations and read more about the South Carolina law using the links in the show notes. There's also a website, acep.org/results. You've been listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.